on like they live, you can see who really runs the Nazi organizations, the ADL. There they are when they're not wearing their KKK hoods. It's Larry David, Howard Stern, Jonathan Greenblatt, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Israeli ambassador to the United States. Of course, hailing from Arkansas, former Governor Mike Huckabee. There they are. All right. How stupid do you think we are? Kristen in San Diego. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, so I am going to try and maybe shove a white pill down your throat like I have to have. But if everything seems out of control, we do know one thing, that God is in control always. So maybe Trump is keeping his enemies close. Maybe he's seeming like he might have done a complete 360, but maybe he'll drain the swamp. And
so he's saving Israel for last?
Well, it wouldn't be a horrible thing, but the whole plan for the Strait was for us to control it, to force China to come to us along with everyone else, and he'll take Greenland when they're weak, and Iran will tumble, but they'll rebuild like he's done with Venezuela. And he has to make everyone hate Israel on their own, so, you know, because otherwise they'll just keep supporting him. So maybe he is looking like he's crazy, but
listen, I don't think everybody hating Israel at the end of the day is good. You paint Israel into a corner, they got a bunch of... No, Trump's heavy in the Israel lobby. They've really helped him out. He doesn't like the Islamists. I get that. He thinks he made the right decision. They convinced him. I really don't think it's 50,000 trillion D chess that secretly, that Q stuff, that Trump really hates Israel and this is a plan to expose Israel. I mean, that's not what's happening here.
Well, no, not necessarily Israel, but Netanyahu, who seems to want to control everything. I mean, that's what I meant by not...
Oh, I get that, yeah. I don't know how he likes Netanyahu, and Netanyahu was the first world leader to recognize Joe Biden when he stole the election, yeah. That might be true, yeah.
Yeah, he has to keep him the closest because he's our biggest threat, our biggest enemy, and, you know, he's letting him... He's giving everybody the rope to hang themselves with, I think, you know, and... I mean, everybody close to him supports him. Everybody close to him praises him. When he met with all the big oil guys, you know, they were all just, I mean, they just seem like, it seems like there's something else maybe going on under that we maybe don't see. And maybe there's good reason for it because, you know, the public needs to figure it out on their own. Otherwise, it'll just continuously stay the same.
Well, let me tell you what's going on. They used to challenge him and he would fight them. They learned to tell him what he wants to hear. Then they'll give them what they want. That is all a big fake thing they do, kissing his ass. Behind the scenes, they are not. They either are globalists and hate him, or they're freaked out and are worried. Believe me, I talk to the people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. He can't to force something. It's never gonna. People aren't gonna take it. You know, you can't.
I want Trump to succeed. Don't get me wrong. Thanks for the call, Chris in Kansas. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yo, Alex.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I have enough time for this, but I just want to ask you if you ever heard of Game Theory 18.
I've heard of Game Theory, but no. What's Game Theory 18?
So this is kind of why I don't know if I have enough time for this, but
well, I'll hold you over. Just start getting to it. Just tell me what it is.
All right. So I don't fully believe this, but Theory 18 kind of works like heavily fortifying the America's industrial sector, like what Russia did at the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war by invading Venezuela, secure the oil reserves there, and by waging war with Iran, close the Strait of Hormuz, no one gets oil, then that sets us up with being the dominant hegemonic energy supplier, and from there we create the not a new world order, but a quote unquote Trump world order.
Okay, well, let me stop you. I hadn't heard of Theory 18, but that is exactly what Trump thinks he's doing, and I guess there's articles about it. But yeah, that is actually what is going on, is the assertion of American dominance in this hemisphere. Fortress America. That's actually an official plan.
Yeah. And the only reason why it comes
to... Hold on, let's come back to you on Game Theory 18.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today.
Sometimes so, if you just joined us, some stations don't care the first five. Chris brought up Game Theory 18. Didn't know what it was. Types it into the search engine. It's, you know, Chinese newspapers and stuff reporting on Trump's plan to get the world that's more dependent on oil than we are, which is definitely true. We're the most independent, other than like Saudi Arabia, to, we're the biggest exporter, to shut down, and then somehow that makes all the economy come to us. But that would take years to do and get us off of Saudi Arabian oil. Plus, we're allied with Saudi Arabia. In the meantime, already 56 days of this baked in is causing massive inflation, massive lowering in the consumer confidence index, and it just doesn't work. Yeah, Trump's been told that. Trump has even said, oh, well, this will just make our oil industry better. But it's all tied to a global economy. And it would take hours to get into every angle of it. I've talked to all the top economists, and I do my own research. I don't just believe them. It's a disaster. The moolahs weren't going to fall, less than a 10% chance. Guarantee they close the strait, which they've done. Now Trump wants to invade the strait. That's back in the news. The next move will be when they can't dislodge him. Now we got to go in. They already fired the head of the army. They tried to send him in with 5,000 Marines, 20,000 army. And the head of the army's like, that is insane. And Lindsey Graham's like, I believe in our Marines. 110,000 Marines and sailors take Iwo Jima. 23,000 Japanese soldiers. We dropped 7.6 million bombs on Vietnam. They didn't give up. We've dropped 20,000 on Iran. Trump like, we blew up a lot of stuff. There's been Pentagon assessments. They're unanimous. Don't do it for decades. Okay? So I don't want to hear, are you for the mullahs? I wouldn't cry if they disappeared. It wasn't going to work. The dog wasn't going to hunt. Above Israel, even deeming this is a political diversion from Netanyahu with criminal charges, and he goes to jail in October, is the Rothschilds and BlackRock wanting a global shutdown to take control. That's been their austerity plan. I said it before the war. I said it the last 56 days. I'm right. And I don't want to be right. This was not a hard prediction to make. So, yeah, now everybody's like, oh, well, this will make, they'll get oil from us now and liquid natural gas. Blah, 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 blah. The supply chains aren't built up. Already a third of the fertilizer in the growing season has been delivered. All the international agencies are reporting it's going to cause mass famine next year. That means revolt, destabilization. This is scientifically known that when you spend half your paycheck on energy and food, you get unrest. 60%, you get war. Okay? They're running out of jet fuel all over the world. This was war game. This was known. And people just like, oh, I think the moodles are full. You know, I was having Easter dinner with family. There were about 9-10 people there, and everybody agreed, and they're all Trump supporters, that the war was bad, except my dad. And he's like, well, I didn't like the war, but now we're there. We got to save face, and hopefully they'll fall. It's just like, my dad's a smart guy. I'm just like, yeah, okay. It's like, well, we're in this fight. It's not like you're fighting some dude in your backyard, and you got to win the fight. It's baked in, folks. It's a setup. Well, we're John Wayne, so we're going to just keep doing it, and we'll just escalate it if we need to. And well, really, it's a master plan of Trump. No, it's not. I know the people in the meetings telling him don't do it. I've had family that war planned at the top of CENTCOM for years. You don't think they haven't war gamed this up the ass? You don't think they haven't had AI 10 times better than you know they have run every calculation? I told you months ago, Israel hits them with a nuke, Pakistan's going to hit them with a nuke. 2 weeks ago, Pakistan said, we will nuke you if you nuke them. This is already war-gamed. I'm sorry I read war games. I'm sorry. I know for those of you who just like football, you know, well, you know every play and how much this player weighs and what he bench presses and who he's married to. I don't know all that stuff because it don't matter. I do know about neutron bombs. And I said before the war, I said Israel might hit Iran with neutron bombs. And then they had the Israeli minister 2 weeks ago say, we got neutron bombs. We might use those. And the head minister goes, don't tell them. They start laughing on TV. I've already war gamed this. Nobody talked about neutron bombs until I did. Okay. I know this stuff. Okay. I just sit there and explain it to people. It's just, it's so frustrating to be informed and then watch a bunch of people that came and find Iran on a map boil it down to, well, you're for the Muslims then? We've been set up by BlackRock for economic disaster. Just watch. I'll be right. And you'll still be mad at me because you want to be lied to. Chris, finishing up with your game theory 18. Go ahead.
So, for the most part, I actually agree with you. The only reason why I'm bringing this up in the first place is because...
No, I'm glad you raised it. It's good to talk about it. I didn't know this idea. That's actually what Trump's being told, so it's not a theory. I should know they were calling it Game Theory 18.
Yeah, so... like I said, the only reason why I brought this up is because another commentator that I listened to on the regular touts this as gospel, and... That's just making me think, is there something to this? Is there something that we're not seeing? Because one aspect that he brought up is the fact that China is not getting enough oil to invade Taiwan, and I heard something about China planning to invade Taiwan in 2027.
Well, yeah, I mean, China does want to invade Taiwan, but... China's actually getting the oil it needs. It's getting it from Russia. Thanks for the call. Look, people look at this and try to put a good face on it. Every time Trump announces that we've won 29 times now, everybody goes, see, you're wrong. The war's over. Victory. It's not true. Trump is freaking out behind the scenes. Killer in Virginia. We got to move quick. And then Joshua and Gary, I'm going to hand the baton to the great Jay Dyer. Go ahead, Killer.
Hey, it's Owl Killer. Hey, I just want to say, Jay Dyer, you're the reason that I was baptized on December 21st Orthodox years ago, even before I started coming on your show. I just want to thank him for that. I just want to say that the treatment of you disgusted me, and I don't know if I can come back, if I can support Trump anymore politically, because Harrison Smith did a wonder where he was showing between 2012, when that incident that shall not be named happened, and 2016, to where Trump got elected, you were not associated with in one article. And as soon as
it's
he got
Sandy
elected,
Hook. No, when Tim Cook was asked, when he led the meeting in 2017 or whatever, to get me banned off all platforms, they said, "Why are you banning him?" Well, we can't say, he's just too dangerous. I was never associated with Sandy Hook. It's all a lie. No internet searches ever about me and Sandy Hook until they sue me. It's all lies.
100%.
Yeah,
and,
believe me, I know.
And you,
I did four interviews about it. There were debates.
Alex, you ran. You won that election. Do you remember all the stunts that used to happen where people would come out and the Bill Clinton's a
Bill
rapist?
Bill Clinton's a rapist. We had airplanes over every Hillary event that she's a criminal.
Look,
I know.
We don't vote. We vote for Ron Paul in the primaries, and then we sit out the elections. You are the reason.
Let me tell
you
know what the listeners were, because here's the deal. 2016, all of a sudden, because usually we make a few extra $1 million a year and I would just invest in the company. We had like $15 million extra right before the election. And I put it all into advertising and airplanes and blimps and sandwich trucks all over the country saying Hillary's a murdering criminal. Remember? And they got so pissed about it. And I pumped every freaking dime into that. And that Trump would call up and thank me. Oh, wow, we're seeing your airplanes and blimps and ads and billboards. Thank you so much. Yeah, we went whole hog, man.
Hey, the only I could say, the one thing that could save him, if he just comes out and says, hey, I am being misled by Israel and I need some help. If
he I hear you. I got a job. I mean, listen. him calling me low IQ and fried, I don't care about that. What I care is he backed off total destruction of Iran, nuclear war. That's why I hit him hard. You think I wanted to be mean? You think I literally, I'm not trying to be dramatic. The crew saw me. Before that show started that day, spontaneously, I started crying. Because I knew how much we'd invested in Trump and how much better he was. And just, I'm such a loyal person, but the truth is what I'm truly loyal to. That I spun, and not like I saw him like a baby. I just started uncontrollably, endorphins being released. I was just in her crying because I knew I had to do this morally. It's that simple. So I did it. I'll do it again. I have to. All right. Joshua in Oregon, you're on the air. Let's go quicker. Go ahead.
I want to talk about the hidden story behind InfoWars and how the intent originated and what happened to Trump and why he's not himself. But we discovered what you've been talking about with the Southern Poverty Law Center years ago, and we've been fighting, trying to do something about that here where we live, and they've come after my kids, hurting them. And, you know, we've figured out, you know, that it's Fed coordinated, all the police departments are involved with it, the agencies are involved with it. And, you know, we don't even know who to talk to try to get help at this point. And I've come across, like, some of these torture sessions, like, literally been feet away from it, and I couldn't do anything about it. And the tortured spirit that night, like, came to my house banging on my window, and I just, it ate at me, and there's nothing that I could do because I have a message that I need to get out, and I couldn't put my life at risk there because I wasn't ready to go against an officer, if you will, because no matter what you do, I mean, you attack.
Well, it's cryptic stuff. Well, what do you want to tell us happened?
For which part?
I mean, that was kind of like esoteric. Well, what is it you want to tell us? Why is Trump acting differently? Go ahead.
So do you remember that deleted video of Bill Clinton where he was getting his makeup done?
Yeah, he looks totally mind controlled.
Yes. So that is something that, like, the Masons used to do this as part of their initiation, where they would remove you from your body to show you that you're not just a physical body. They stopped doing that because the problem was getting them back in their bodies. So this is what they've done. And so with somebody like Bill Clinton, that's considered to be an honor to be ridden by what Trapp calls a hollow man, and I think that's an apt term there. Is that they're basically being ridden. So, like, when one of the people kind of made the Rohan analogy the other day, they weren't very far off. That's literally what's going on here, is that he's been pulled out of his body and somebody else is sitting in it. And that's why the possession looks kind of like an illness. Like, it looks like his mind's deteriorating, things like that. It sometimes just looks like seizures with people when there's just an attachment. That's essentially what's going on there. So it's not the Trump that originally ran. It's somebody else. Somebody got to him, tried, you know, basically different ways. I remember you, like, a little over a year ago, were talking about the CIA director, about bestowing magical powers upon him. They've tried every which way to try to seduce him. Somehow they figured out a way to get him out of his body. I know that they've tried doing that to me when I was younger. It didn't work. They got close, though.
All right, very interesting, Joshua. Thank you. I've made Jay and I hold 18 minutes. I apologize. Last caller, Gary in Tennessee. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the graphene oxide and this vaccine. You're talking about synchronicity. The fact that Trump attacks you the day that you prayed for him, it's like demons attack. You know how demons will attack somebody when they're having.
Yeah, that was a black Christian leader on. We pray for Trump, and then he attacks.
Then the same day, you have the guys on there talking about voice the skull technology, and the chips implanted in the chips. And this whole time, I've been thinking, well, he's been getting threat because of the golden pager. You know, they gave him the golden pager, and then all of a sudden he switched on the Epstein files. Like, and then Netanyahu says, we have Israeli technology in all your cell phones to all our congressmen, okay? And then you have the ADL saying that they're going to use pager bombs on Americans.
Yep.
The technology is
already here. Every time I say that or say it myself, I feel like I'm lying, even though we have the video. The head of the ADL, we need to blow Americans up with pagers.
they have it. It's already here. Trump probably got the threat. They said, look, you'll kill millions of Americans if you release these files and damage Israel, and he's under their gun. And now he's 5 times boosted with all these shots, and he is ultimately susceptible to this voice-to-skull technology.
I hear you. I can talk to you for 10 hours, 30 seconds more. Go ahead.
But that's it. Get Jay Dyer to get you in touch with Sam Hyde. Him and Tim Heidecker have history.
No, I know. He got him fired off Adult Swim when he had a top show. All I know is this guy literally is pro-pedophilia, and they haven't taken over the operation. They say they have, so I guess the fix is in. It is totally insane. Speaking of that, let's go to Jay Dyer right now. I apologize getting him on late. Jay's analysis, best-selling author, researcher. Jay, can't wait to listen to you. And then Harrison Smith, The War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. And next Thursday at midnight, they're coming here with private investigators, a private security firm. They're locking the doors. Even though the court hasn't ordered it yet, they seem to know how the court's going to rule Thursday, showing you the fix is in, and they don't even care. Jay Dyer takes over now.
Thank you, Alex. Welcome to the fourth hour. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Today, I thought it'd be fun to talk about something that we've streamed about recently, something that Candace has mentioned here and there. I don't agree with all of her theories. It's something that I've talked about for at least 10 years, and I first encountered this idea back when I was reading F. William Engdahl's books about 10 years ago. I remember reading that entities like Campus Crusade for Christ and other evangelical outfits, such as Calvary Chapel, as an example, have a long history with the Pentagon and the deep state. Now, I'm not specifically talking about TPUSA.
The evangelicals famously been used by the CIA since the 70s to infiltrate Russia.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we were talking about on the live stream last night, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. They'll invite the CIA directors on to promote, of course, all the neoconservative lines. That's because, unfortunately, the Baptists, as an example, and I was raised Baptist, so I think I can speak to this, have really just been a mouthpiece for the nation state of Israel. So it's really a situation that's bizarre given the history of Baptists. Go back to Roger Williams in Rhode Island. The idea was radical separation of church and state. In fact, God really doesn't have anything to do with the state. Religion is sort of a personal, private piety that you have. And yet nowadays, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary literally just repeats whatever the CIA directors tell them to say. And we found multiple podcasts where Al Mohler, the director of SBTS, as an example, is inviting on CIA guys, not whistleblowers like John Kiriakou. And I want to give a shout out to John Kiriakou. My interview with him will be up in the next couple of days. He had me on his podcast. That should be going up soon. Also, I'm having him on mine next week. But point here is that, yeah, a lot of this goes back to the Cold War, where the CIA had the idea of what they termed the doctrinal warfare program. We've covered this before. You can read various elements of their declassified, some in 2013 and some later. And these documents describe the way that the CIA would utilize all of the churches, Roman Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, during the Cold War as an ideological soft power tool to promote Americanism and the Americanist idea. Now, again, even if you believe in the principles that were pushed, and I'm not saying this really goes against the whole idea of what supposedly Baptist or Protestant evangelical theology holds typically about the relationship of not being involved supposedly in the state. And yet, of course, we're supposed to do whatever the nation state of Israel says, because that's the one state that does matter, not America, right? But being America first, I think, conflicts with that. However, it's really kind of absurd to think that there's this realm where there's no relationship of religion in the so-called state. But on this other hand, we can have this sort of de facto support for whatever Netanyahu says. It just makes no sense. And I think people begin to see the absurdity of this when Tucker interviewed Huckabee, and then you had other interviews that I think have highlighted this as well. Father Josiah Trenum, for example, just went on Tucker, and they had a long discussion about Christian Zionism being really incompatible and antithetical to the entire Christian message, the entire New Testament, and really the history of the church. So the codification of rabbinic Judaism in the 4th and 5th century into their Babylonian Talmud and the Palestinian Jerusalem Talmud, those Talmuds are the codification in many ways that actually just come out of an antithesis to the growing Christian movement. Now, I'm not saying the whole thing, right? So there's obviously elements within those Talmuds that go back earlier. For example, Jeremiah says in his day that there were already the lying pens of the scribes and the lawyers that were twisting the message of God at that time when he was in Babylonian captivity. And I think if you read the New Testament, as we pointed out many times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is perfectly paralleling a lot of the criticisms that Jeremiah had in his day in Matthew 22 and 23, where he's talking about the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers and how they were really twisting it to be more of a geopolitical agenda. And of course, I think we all know that the reason that the Jews at that time rejected Christ as the Messiah was because they wanted a political leader, right? A lot of them had the zealot ideology that there would be a political power that the Messiah would bring, that would he would give, you know, the Jews a millennial kingdom and so forth. And that's what the Jews were demanding at that time. And since Jesus didn't represent that, they were not interested in a savior that would die and resurrect, right? So Jesus had a more spiritual message in the sense of coming to defeat the power of sin and to resurrect and to give us, you know, his grace and immortal life. And yet there still is a political reality, and people miss this. A lot of people in the, even the Protestant evangelical world miss this. And I want to be very precise, because I'm not saying that the church is only political or essentially political, but there is a relevance that eventually was developed, theologically speaking, in the centuries after the Christ in the early church. And many people might think, oh, well, the early church, they were all persecuted and they were just kind of hiding out in the catacombs. And some of that's true. I've been to the catacombs. I went to Rome a few years ago and we toured some of the catacombs and saw, you can see, you know, there's ancient altars down there where they had altar worship. They had imagery. They had images in the tombs down there. So a lot of the worship that you see there is very reminiscent, very close to what you would see even in Orthodox church today. But point being is, during that period, they were still consistent with the idea that it's not that the state is antithetical to the church. Many states in history and empires have been antithetical to God's people, and they've wanted to erect themselves as a kind of deity. But the idea that it's all sort of a libertarian or anarcho position, I don't think is true. So you'll find a pretty clear theological assessment throughout those centuries that there is a doctrine of a Christian nationalist state that's ideal. That's not the main concern of the church. We're not mainly interested in erecting a Christian nationalist state, but that ultimately there ought to be a Christian nationalist state should the majority of the people become Christians. And that's what you actually see. For example, in Daniel 2, there's a prophecy that when the Messiah comes, the empire under which he comes, and of course that's Rome, would eventually be Christianized. And it would, his kingdom would take over all the other kingdoms. And what you see in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth century is when that Christianity spreads, it is the same kind of Christianity that we believe in the Orthodox Church, I would argue. And it begins to become normalized and empire-wide. And that is the fulfillment, I would say, of what you see in Daniel 2. It doesn't talk about that being at the end of the world. It's talking about the birth of the Messiah, not his second coming, but when he's born, he sets up a kingdom that will take over all of these other kingdoms. It's not primarily earthly, but there is an earthly component or dimension to it. And that's what, for example, Byzantium understood. The whole history of the Byzantine Empire is this idea that there's an eagle who has two heads, right? One head is the church and one head is the state. It's the same body of people, but they have two different spheres, two independent spheres of operation. Now, the state always has a tendency to want to invade that sphere and to take it over and to run it. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment as we talk about the infiltration and subversion of the churches, and it's all the churches, and it's the attempted use and control by the state. We'll get to that in just a moment. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis.
This is your last chance until next Thursday to get original InfoWars apparel that's historic. They're going to claim they own it, even if they do get it. I mean, if that's in question, we're just considering that's it. Probably your last time, maybe. Who knows? But just get it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I don't own that. They can't get it. It funds the new network. But this I'm impressed with, okay? They said, we're going to launch five of the best-selling trench warfare, battle daggers with skull crushers, murdered out brass knuckles, 10-inch, razor-sharp, double-edged dagger with limited edition inscriptions. There's only 1,000 of each one of these knives. Now, this is You Are the InfoWar is one of them with InfoWars on it. So that's the last time you can get that. Okay. And that looks cool. And it's probably the one you want to get because, you know, it should be the rarest, but it's not the coolest. I'm sorry. Look at the stuff they did. I just said, do whatever you want. You're so talented. Liberty or death with an American flag. And then it's got World War II, you know, Eternal Soldier and bullet holes. I mean, that is just wicked. There's five of these. Only 1,000 of each. Look at this, limited edition. This is in Latin, Christ is King. And on the other side, it's got the Jerusalem cross. I did come up with that one, which they think is so evil, which I love. It's a beautiful cross. You got that. Look at this bad boy. Look at this bad boy right here. This has got to be the coolest. It's the Spartans from 300, the real event that happened. And they've got all their phalanx with their shields and their spears. I mean, just look at that craftsmanship. Laser. And look at that. Molon Labe come and take it. Which echoes through time, through the Alamo and everything else. I mean, just bad ass. I bet these sell out today or two. And all the new t-shirts and everything and a bunch of other huge sales. It is insane. This is a $199 value with inscription for just $79. Did you hear that? VIP, $63.99. That'd be like 10 bucks on that. And when you buy two daggers, you get an extra 25% off and can mix and match. This is insane. April 30th is your last chance to get official InfoWars products, probably. So that's a fundraiser, too. Get those. Got a lot of limited edition there as well. Third deal, subscribing at 50% off any supplement. Lock it in the future, cancel any time. You just lock in the savings if you want it, not canceling time for free. One click. And get a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy, which is an amazing energy formula and relaxation formulas, free with every order. And it goes on. Fourth deal, mystery gift in everything. These deals are too good. I told them that, actually. These guys are just badass. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Funding the Second American Revolution worldwide and pissing off the pedophile Satanist all the way. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. Today's house. We're talking about the idea of the Christian state. Some people call this Christian nationalism. I would qualify that in certain ways. The idea that the state has a role, the state has a duty to God, and the state has Christian principles that should underlie it. It's not our first and primary goal, but it's part of the worldview. It's part of the paradigms, part of the history, tradition of the church, and the teaching of the New Testament and the Old Testament is that the state and the church have duties, albeit different, but still, nonetheless, duties to God. And the idea of a completely secular, divided off realm is really just totally made up, right? This is all the idea out of the Enlightenment and out of Baptist theology, particularly Roger Williams. Of course, the Constitution itself, for example, doesn't separate God from the state. It says that there's a separation of the church and the idea of an established church, per se, of the state. But even in the early era of the colonies, you could have and did have different states or colonies had actually established religion. And so this is where Roger Williams and others had the idea of disestablishmentarianism, which is the idea that no theological principle should have any role or duty in the state. Now, that's really complex. We're not going to do a history lesson here, but I do want to talk about how if we fast forward to the last century or perhaps during the Cold War, what happened was a lot of these older theological ideas were kind of set aside for the necessity or the perceived necessity of getting all of the churches involved in a global geopolitical crusade that was theological, religious, and ideological. As I mentioned in the first segment, my introduction to this idea, and I never really thought about this, although I'd read a lot of conspiracy material and I read a lot of the books that Alex had recommended over the years, going all the way back to 2003. When I first heard Alex, I remember him talking about Skull and Bones, and I remember reading Anthony Sutton's book when Alex was talking about how Skull and Bones would recruit people for the OSS and CIA out of Yale and all those other Eastern Seaboard elite universities and establishments. And I was like, well, this is interesting because this is kind of a quasi-religious secret society. And, you know, Yale is prominent for having divinity school, and there's Harvard Divinity School. And, you know, a lot of these were actually started as quasi-religious theological institutions. And a lot of those Eastern elite establishment institutions eventually caved to universalism, Unitarianism, and they became really sort of mouthpieces of the establishment and where the power elite would draw from to recruit people into, as I said, their CFR, their OSS, their CIA eventually. And why is that? You know, what's this weird connection between religion and intelligentsia or intelligence operations and so forth? And the connection is, first and foremost, out of the university system, right? If you're going to recruit the future leaders and movers and shakers and change agents and so forth, you're probably going to draw from those universities. And there's stories that, you know, David Rockefeller, for example, would actually go sometimes and just sort of meet people when they were in high school and say, you know, you're going to be somebody important in the future. And a lot of people think that might be a reference to Bill Clinton. We know Bill Clinton had a close relationship with David Rockefeller. There's old clips where Rockefeller was at Council on Foreign Relations meetings, and he would say, you know, I'd like to introduce, you know, Bill Clinton, future president, this kind of stuff. And Bill Clinton would say, everything I have to David Rockefeller. He's the greatest man ever. So the power elite, the wealthiest families in the country, are the ones really behind the intelligence breakaway security establishment. And to understand it that way, to understand it as kind of the private army of these people, is a better way than understanding it like most normies think, that, oh, well, they're fighting for America and freedom and all the fighting the terrorists and all the other countries. Well, but America creates and funds and runs a lot of the terror, not everything, but quite a bit of it. In fact, that's admitted many, many times over in many of the operatives' own books. We've covered Miles Copeland's book, Game of Nations, where there's an entire chapter on, yeah, of course we run terrorists. He says they're perfect tools and patsies and dupes. He says, yeah, we run a lot of Islamic terror. We have a long history of the CIA funding the Muslim Brotherhood back to the 1940s, British intelligence as well. In fact, British intelligence was integral in the very founding of the Muslim Brotherhood. And that was because at the time they wanted an offset to the Ottomans, right? British Empire versus the Ottomans. So why not make an alliance with the radical Salafi Sunni Islamic groups? And that's exactly what we had all the way up into the 1980s, and even probably to this day, with now admitted Timber Sycamore, CIA, Mossad, et cetera, funding to the tune of at least $1 billion. I think the New York Times report from 2017, Timber Sycamore was $1 billion of tax money, U.S. tax money, to overthrow Assad and put Jolani in the Al-Qaeda ISIS fighter. And then, of course, Israel also admitted that many times. Oh, yeah, of course, we fund the radicals. We want to destabilize all the countries surrounding Israel. But that was already in Viktor Ostrovsky's books, 20, 30 years ago, in the late 90s. So, what, 30 years ago? He was already saying, yeah, of course, we fund Muslim Brotherhood. Of course, we fund, Hamas. Absolutely. It's warfare 101, right? So, now that this is all kind of in the public sphere, we think about that as something Islamic, right? Oh, the CIA runs those groups, or they fund that group, or they use that as a cutout. But we're not thinking about, wait a minute, what about people like Billy Graham? And I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings. I was raised Southern Baptist. I know everybody's got a love for Billy Graham. You've got to come down to the altar and give your heart to Jesus and pray the sinner's prayer, and I'll give you a hot slice of pizza and I also save your soul. I know. I get it. I was raised with that. I came up with all of that. But the more I read this kind of stuff, I remember Engdahl positing, hey, wait a minute. There's an odd connection between Billy Graham and the Central Intelligence Agency during the Cold War. And it's not just Billy Graham, because they were also looking for Islamic versions of Billy Graham, people that could be mouthpieces for Western values and Western ideas within the framework and the paradigm of the Islamic world. And they thought maybe they could find a kind of Muslim Billy Graham that could unite all the Muslims and the Arabs. But of course, eventually they realized that this was futile. It's so tribal that you could never get these ancient vendettas to be overcome, even with the most charismatic sort of Muslim, you know, figure or propped up figurehead in this case. And examples would be people like the Gulen, the Fethullah Gulen network, that guy that's kind of obviously some form of a Western CIA plant, the Turkish guy. But in the case of Billy Graham, as David Wim Hof, the Catholic lawyer, demonstrates in his gigantic 800-page book on the Cold War and the Doctrinal Warfare Program, Billy Graham had a close connection to the CIA during the Cold War. And it's quite obvious if you think about it, right? What better way to promote a lot of American ideas and values than the idea of a Baptist preacher and giant sort of, you know, crusades and the big stadiums and whatnot. And so there was actually a verifiable close relationship between Billy Graham and the CIA as one example. Not saying he was a mind controlled operative, just saying that he was, you know, believing, and many people at the time believed that. My uncle was a famous Cold Warrior. He did all kinds of crazy missions that my family didn't tell me about until I was like over age 30. So, I understand this, right? I'm not dissing my own uncle and my family members. So, but they were believing, well, we got to do this because, you know, we represent the good guys and they're the atheists. And that's true to a degree, but also there's a lot more nuance and manipulation going on there, because what happens is the more that, for example, the Vatican, in the case of John Paul II, aligns himself with the CIA to win the Cold War, the more you're kind of in bed and sort of on the handle to those guys, right? They've got leverage now, right? They've got a lot of power and influence and control. And we just saw this, for example, when one of the cardinals in January, Cardinal Christoph, went to the Pentagon and met with Trump and the Trump administration. And nobody knows exactly what was said in this meeting, but the idea was, what allegedly leaked out was, you better do what we want, because if you remember the Avignon papacy, the state can really tell the church what to do. I'm absolutely no fan of the papacy. I think people know that. I think it's a controlled institution, but this is an example of what I'm saying, that Cardinal Christoph was defending Leo's criticisms of Trump in regard to the Iran war and whatnot. And the response was, well, you better get in line with what we want, right? Because we're calling the shots here. And that really indicates the type of attitude that I'm speaking of here, with thinking that there is a real separation of church and state, which is allowed at a certain degree for, you know, your average church on the end of the street or end of the block. But at the international level, no, these things are absolutely intertwined with geopolitical realities. The Vatican is a city state. It's recognized in international law as its own individual sovereign entity that's not subject to the laws of other countries. That's why in the emails that Epstein was sending to Larry Summers, he says, you understand the Vatican Bank is one of the best banks for money laundering. It's so secretive, kind of like the BIS, that we don't really even know what's going on there, right? And that's why there have been many cases of corruption of the Vatican Bank over the last several decades, going back to Gladio. So point being here is that we've got to be more understanding and not so naive as to think that a lot of these outfits, a lot of these operations with churches are just what they appear to be. They're not. For example, when Al Mohler was criticizing Russia, he said that it's an attack on religious freedom. This is the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary leader. It's an attack on religious freedom for Russia to ban Jehovah's Witnesses and Scientologists. Well, first of all, why is Al Mohler defending Scientologists? It doesn't make any sense from his theological perspective. But even if he wants to criticize Russia, like, Russia's reasoning for that was because those entities are used for espionage. So whether you agree or disagree with the Russian approach to shutting down, quote, free speech, if the basis for that is because those outfits are classically used entities for espionage, for, you know, it's not missionary work that's always going on there. Same case with Mormonism. Mormons have for many decades it's very open, been recruited by the CIA to do their missionary work in other countries and also work for the CIA. There's been a long time connection between the Mormon Church and the CIA. It's very public, very, very easy to go and verify. And that's because the state wants to utilize, obviously, every angle for full spectrum dominance. And of course, what better power over men's mind than the religion, the religious mythos that they believe? That's what gives their lives meaning. And so if the state can have a huge amount of control and use the church, it will always seek to do so. But that doesn't mean that the solution is something like Roger Williams's, you know, total disestablishmentarianism, that we should never have any relationship between church and state, because it's unavoidable. You can't avoid a relationship between theology and the state, but that doesn't mean that the state is God or that the state should have the ability or the power to control or infiltrate and subvert the churches. But that's exactly what the Cold War allowed the Western breakaway security establishment state to do. Now, I'm not saying every strip mall evangelical church or every Baptist church is run by the CIA. It doesn't work like that. When you have very high-level people, very high-level, say, Baptist, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, these are the kinds of people that would be pressured or propositioned or coerced or just happily going along with it because they believe it's patriotism, right, to go along with whatever the CIA's position is. So in the case of Russia, the Baptists, for example, went very public at the time of 2020 and then later on with criticizing what happened in the Ukraine because the CIA was pushing that line, right? So in other words, they're not deviating from the establishment's line on these foreign operations. And they would happily see the Orthodox Church in the Ukraine, for example, split if that's what the CIA wants. And that's exactly the State Department and others who were behind the schism in the Ukraine to break apart that region, namely Odessa and whatnot, from Russian influence in the Russian sphere. And that's just the reality of geopolitics. But again, it's just silly when you have evangelicals that supposedly don't concern themselves with politics, but then they absolutely do when it comes to the neoconservative foreign policy objectives or Israel's foreign policy objectives. I mean, you have, you know, the biggest Christian YouTubers, people like Ruslan, who go out here and say that he doesn't care about Epstein, he doesn't care about politics, but yet Ruslan is over here tweeting about how a few years ago we got to support Black Lives Matter, we got to do all this kind of stuff, and yet the biggest Christian YouTuber claims he's not interested in politics. Well, I think that's hypocrisy. I think that's crazy. And that's why when you ask these people to do a debate, they won't do it. They'll run from it. Same with, Wes Huff goes on Joe Rogan. He debates Billy Carson. But at the minute that anybody else puts some pressure to come debate these other types of issues, they don't want to do it. So, that's where we are with evangelicalism, is that it's full of these sort of paid operatives and plants. I don't know that the people that I just mentioned are paid operatives. I'm giving my opinion and my assessment of what could be the case with the way that giant foundations, think tanks, billionaires, the way that they put money into operations and push them at a certain level and to a certain degree to be successful and to get people into their orbit so that then they can bring them gradually over into more and more radical ideas. I would be very suspicious, for example, of a so-called Christian who a few years ago was pushing Andrew Yang for president when Yang is pro-abortion, radically pro-Roe v. Wade, radically wants to see gender-affirming healthcare everywhere. Again, open supporter of Black Lives Matter not too long ago. But now these people are, of course, mouthpieces for right-wing conservatism and based Christianity on YouTube. But it's all ridiculous. It makes no sense. And people are beginning to figure out that there's a lot of grifters out there. There's people who go and change with the tide. As soon as they see the tide turning, I was always based and trad. I was always that. No, you weren't. And everybody can see what your views were not even that long ago. So none of these people actually want to discuss issues or the topics, because that would expose the fact that much of evangelicalism, again, I'm not talking about every individual people in the pew or every little small church. I'm talking about the major movements, the mega churches. They're not just famous cases of like money laundering. And you can look up a lot of mega churches as being, money laundering, cults, you know, all that kind of stuff. In fact, there was a giant bust in Florida in the last year of a huge mega church that was actually a gigantic criminal operation. I forget the name of the church, but it's all over the news. You can find it. Huge case. It was national news. And this happens all the time. And that's because mega churches are perfect cutout vehicles for criminal operations. Many other mega churches in other countries have been busted for being giant money laundering schemes. It's an easy way to hide your money, avoid taxes, this kind of stuff. So it attracts a kind of criminal class that are typically narcissistic, ego-driven. But that's just one level of, you know, the fake TV glitter bug preacher types. There's another level to where there are actual intelligence operations that utilize these types of groups. For example, I uncovered some old scholarly essays that I tweeted about a few months ago where people were investigating the usage of evangelical churches during the Cold War to arm the Contras. Now, again, I'm not pro-communist. I'm just saying, like, why are evangelical churches, which have supposedly no commitment to political ideas, being used to traffic weapons, you know, down to Latin and South America? I mean, it's just fake. It's obviously, like, that's what that is. It's there's a veneer, a wallpaper of God, and then behind that is other stuff going on. And again, don't misquote me and twist what I'm saying. I'm not saying every Southern Baptist preacher is a CIA agent. I'm not saying that every church is run by the CIA. I'm saying in general, things like the Calvary Chapel movement, as a test case example, that was actually started by former CIA people on record who fought in, you know, Cold War. They were involved in Vietnam operations. They were involved in Green Beret stuff. And then suddenly God tells them through visions that they're supposed to start another movement, right? And they geared that towards recruiting the 1960s Jesus people, right? This is boomers who were really involved in the counterculture and acid and Grateful Dead, and then decided suddenly there was this movement. Oh, we all want to turn to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying they're all bad motives, but out of that, there was immediately concocted a new made-up denomination. You get the Vineyard churches, the charismatic movement there. You get the Calvary Chapel movement as kind of a division of that. And several people involved in these early moves were actually butt buddy types, to put it that way, right? We're talking about Paul Kane, famous prophets who also turned out to be Skittles, creeper weirdos, shocker, and people that work with the CIA. So why are we having people that do channeling and like weird new agey types of stuff who are also Skittles, butt buddies? Then suddenly they're called by God to start a church. I mean, it's just preposterous. It's ridiculous. Yeah, people ought to be able to see through that right away, right? But that's pretty much the norm in that world. It's kind of sad that people still fall for, you know, the mega church kind of TV preacher model, because they almost always end up being just these insanely, you know, righteous gemstones, right? Everybody's seen Righteous Gemstones, right? This show's hilarious. Danny McBride, people like that, the parody, the big TV preacher people. And that really just makes Christianity look ridiculous. So it's there almost to be a kind of atheism factory. So I think that, you know, the money elite, the power elite, they have no problem with these kinds of people. They're not a threat to the establishment. They make Christianity look ridiculous and retarded. Meanwhile, they can also be used in a lot of other ways for foreign operations, weapons trafficking, human trafficking, even in some cases. For example, in the Ukraine, many of the evangelical charismatic churches openly and actively participated in supporting the State Department's position to help oppose Russia and to divide Ukraine down the middle. They worked together with ecumenist universities that were set up there, run out of Fordham University, which is a Jesuit university in the U.S., absolutely 100% CIA university. John Brennan has a whole section of the school named after him. Okay, so Fordham University is a CIA university on record, together as a Jesuit university. Georgetown, CIA Jesuit university. Same, Carol Quigley taught at Georgetown. There you go. So that's examples of the power structure overlapping with religion to utilize these entities as actions of the state. And usually it's soft power in the sense of a nefarious use of soft power. Again, I'm not saying that all forms of soft power are bad. Everybody does this. We all try to influence other people or other areas to agree with and accept our positions. But the problem is that it's very fraudulent and it makes no sense because it's all built on this idea of separation of church and state, but then actually all these entities are absolutely joined at the hip. And, you know, this gets into human trafficking as well when it comes to orphanages and all that kind of stuff. A lot of times those are, it came out that Mother Teresa's orphanages were actually a hub for human trafficking. I mean, there's no shock there, right? It's not a shocker. This is unfortunately how much of the religious sphere actually operates. And a lot of people become atheists as a result of this. So I'm not telling you to become an atheist. I'm just saying that we have to recognize the reality of it and look for what I think are, you know, more authentic, real versions of Christianity. And I think it's Orthodox Christianity, but you can go see all my arguments, whether you think that's the case or not. But regardless of whether you agree with, you know, Russia's stance, I'm pointing out that there's no actual separation of church and state at that level. If you think about it and you look at the way that people act versus what they say they believe, because throughout the entire Cold War, all of the churches were the targets of the CIA's doctrinal warfare program to participate in the CIA's Cold War operations in other countries. John Paul II is one of the best examples of that. In the very same book that talked about the way ahead of time that was vindicated, I think, by the Epstein emails, Gordon Thomas's book, Gideon Spies Above the Mossad, there's multiple chapters on John Paul II. Why? Well, it was under John Paul II that Mossad, according to Gordon Thomas, was trying to bug the Vatican. The Vatican actually figured this out because they have their own intelligence apparatus. And then as a result of this, mysteriously, not too many years later, the Vatican recognizes the nation state of Israel as a political entity. So they had never done that before until pressure was put on John Paul II to do so. John Paul II also regularly met with William Casey, the head of the CIA, when there was this period of the Templars, these right-wing supposed trad cats that were running the CIA at that time. This is Reagan era. Templars, supposedly, which is, again, preposterous given the fact that, I mean, this is so much of this is just corruption, human trafficking, compromise, all the Epstein type of stuff, right? And the point there is that people think, well, John Paul II's a Cold War hero. Well, I mean, you could say he contributed to ending the Cold War, but the way that that occurred was through absolutely 100% doing what Kissinger and the CIA wanted him to do, showing again that there's this high level collusion. And it's no different when we get to the Pope of the Baptist, people like Al Mohler, or these people that run the giant seminaries. They do the exact same thing. And so they collude with the state at a power level to get things done, while they also have a supposed philosophy of the absolute separation of church and state, disestablishmentarianism, Roger Williams, etc. Most of evangelicalism claims to have that, but that's absolutely not the case. We see things like TPUSA. They're joined at the hip to the power elite and to the state at many levels, in many ways, in my opinion. This is the Alex Jones Show. Go follow me on YouTube, Jay Dyer. Be sure and support Alex by going to the store and get those products.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.